church, and if God's there, meet. And stay met till He's done meeting. Go to the house and forget about it. Amen? I'm serious about that. I've prayed about that for a long time, and that the more I pray, the more convinced I am of it. And I know what a lot of folks would think. Well, they done went liberal over there and give away with Sunday night service. And, you know, somebody told me some while ago, I forget it was some preacher, and I love him. I don't remember who it was for sure. I don't think so. I think I do, but I'm not going to repeat it because I'm not sure. Said I wouldn't be against, shutting down on Sunday night service. But he said that's what began the downfall of England when they began to decline spiritually. And I thought on that for a while, and I thought, well, if that's true, I wonder what happened in America. They had more God on them in America when they had circuit-riding preachers and didn't meet but once a month. Amen. And what we got now. So I see that don't jive, see? God leaves us. We have less of God because people's hearts get cold on God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. If missing a Sunday night service drives you up on God, your God's awful small. He's a little God, really is. I'll put it like this, it's a little God, because He ain't no little God. Amen. Amen. He's great and terrible is His name. Amen. That's right, great and terrible. And that word, that's where the word reverend comes from. I don't like to be called reverend. I'm not reverend. I'm Brother Hall, Pastor Hall. I'm not Reverend Hall. Reverend means great and terrible, and I'm not great nor terrible. I'm neither one. So I'm just Brother Hall, Pastor Hall. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's what that word means. Great and terrible. Reverend. He is reverend is His name. And holy. Reverend and holy. That word reverend means great and terrible. Amen. And God is great. And God is a terrible. I mean, we just saw where He done terrible works. Now, I can't do any terrible works. I can tear up some works. Now, I don't know about terrible works. Amen. But I appreciate everybody being here today, and I hope you'll bear with me in the preaching hour. I've got quite a bit here, and if God get into it, we may not leave before 6 o'clock. And again, we may be out of here in 30 minutes. It's just whatever God wants to do. And boy, I'll tell you, but this verse of Scripture has been real in my heart all week long. Let's stand together, please, with your Bibles to the Song of Solomon and chapter number 2. I was talking to Brother Brown some time ago, and he asked me, he said, how far along are you in the Song of Solomon? I said, I'm in the last couple of verses of the first chapter. And he said, well, he said, I see you haven't got to chapter 2 yet. And he said, you wait till you get to chapter 2 and verse 5, where the Bible said, I am sick of love. Amen. He said, that simply means that she was love sick. I'm going to tell you, friend, we can never get love sick. Amen. We need to be love sick. Amen. For Him. Amen. He that loved us. We need to get love. Anybody here ever been love sick? You know you have. If you met that little lady and loved her and then had to leave her a while, you know you was love sick. You didn't want to eat. You didn't want to sleep. You didn't want to do nothing. All you could do was sit around and drool at the mouth. And wish that you was where she was. Love sick. Wanting to kiss her with the kisses of your mouth. So I'm going to tell you, when we ever get that way spiritually, somebody said, oh, well, I wouldn't be that way. I'm going to tell you something, friends, spiritually, there ain't a thing wrong with being love sick and wanting to kiss Him with the kisses of our mouth. That old harlot did, didn't you? Somebody said, well, she's a woman, he's a man. No, you got your mind in the gutter, neighbor. For in heaven there's neither male nor female. Now, I don't know how He's going to work all that out. But He's great and terrible. He'll do it. Who said that? Lord, I like that. Man. Song of Solomon, chapter number 2 and verse number 1. May God help me this morning. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Let's bow together to pray. Our Father, I'm thankful for this morning hour that You've given us for your divine presence and for your answering of our prayers. Thank you for the good singing that we've enjoyed. And Lord, the good spirit that we've felt today in our hearts and been able, Lord, to praise you just a little. Thank you for the tenderness I see in the hearts of God's people that's been reflected there by their eyes. I thank you for that. I praise you for being good to Brother Hall and what you showed me in this verse of Scripture. Now, help me this morning. Just because it's on paper doesn't mean a thing, Lord, if you don't show up in power to put your blessings upon it and to anoint it with your Holy Spirit. I pray for power and grace and mercy and help. And Lord, I pray for physical strength and ask you, Lord, to touch my throat and my body this morning and help me to preach. Most of all, touch my heart and help me preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. May you take thy word today and make it quick in the hearts of sinners that they might come to love you as others have. Lord, that it might be a blessing to those that are saved. Take us back to Calvary and recap us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Bible says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. By God's help, I want to preach on that for a while this morning and try to draw our thoughts around this, God's broken rose. I want to try to preach. Boy, he's going to have to help me. I don't know if I can get through it or not. But I want to preach this morning on God's broken rose. Jesus said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Now we're starting chapter number 2 of the Song of Solomon. And as we look down through the chapter, we'll once again, church, we find Christ and the church alternating in their praises one for another. They discover the strength of their mutual affection and they express the delight and the pleasure that they take in each other. I want to say to you this morning that Christ delights in us as a man delights himself in a new bride. We are the bride of Christ. And I'll tell you, church, He delights Himself in you and I. He delights in showing us the mercies of God. He delights in being gracious to you and I. It is a pleasure to Him to bestow grace upon us and to bless us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It honors and glorifies Him to lead us into places in our life where we've got to trust God and where the fiery trials will prove us and bring us to a place that we might praise Him at the end, knowing, as it said in the psalm this morning, that when the afflictions are gone and God brings us out, that He always brings us into a wealthy place. And we find here Christ delighting Himself in the church and then the church delighting herself in the Lord. For she did say there in verse 5, I am sick of love. Brother, I'll tell you, if you and I that have been to Calvary now can ever get love sick, just sick of love, get to a place in our life where we cannot, where we feel like in our heart that we cannot do without God's divine and holy presence. In fact, we need to get like David said, I am in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. Now, I'm going to tell you, my friend, if we'll ever get thirsty enough for God, amen, if our soul will ever long after Jesus the way it ought to, we can have a love affair with Him, my friend, that will light a fire in the midst of this church that the devil and all the imps of hell cannot with their ungodly water pots quench. I'll assure you that. if we can get the love sparks of flying, spiritually speaking, like we had with our bride's friend when we married them, I'll tell you that God will light a fire that all the imps of hell don't have the power nor the ability to put out. And we find the bride and Jesus here exchanging remarks and expressing their love one for another, their affection, their desires, and their delights. When was the last time you told him the desires of your heart? I'm not talking about uttering some little old prayer you've heard somebody else say. I'm talking about getting down to earnest business and asking God to meet you and fulfill the very desires that you have down in your heart. What do you really want from God? Do you think God is so small that He cannot give you the desires of your heart, whatever they might be? I'm telling you, friend, that God can save your loved ones. Oh, yes, He can. I will tell you this on the authority of the Word of God, that God can give Ben and Angie a baby. For God opens and God closes the womb. And my friend, God can open the womb and conceive and provide a baby in the womb of a woman anytime God gets ready. For God gives life and God takes life, and blessed be the name of God. I'll tell you, God can do exceedingly and abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think of Him. When was the last time you asked God to give you the desires of your heart? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thy heart. It's what the psalmist said, and I believe that, friend. Now, our opening statement, I've got to go now. Our opening statement in chapter 2. He said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Now, there are those that believe this to be expressive both of Christ and the church, that it could be either one of them uttering these words, that it could, in fact, be the church herself admiring the grace of God that had been bestowed upon her, that she likened herself to the roses that grew in Sharon and to the lilies that grew down in the valley. Now, I'm going to be honest. I personally believe that it is our Lord expressing or revealing Himself to us as the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. But really quickly, I want to just give you two or three things here that are similarities to the rose and the lily that may very well be expressive of the church. In fact, this could very well be the church saying within her own heart as she looked upon Him, realizing that His grace and that His glory had been bestowed freely upon her. She could, in fact, look Him in the face and say, I am the rose of Sharon and I am the lily of the valley. Now, I won't take long on it. But by way of introduction, I want to bring it out. Amen. Notice it said, the rose of Sharon and the lily of where? The lily of the valleys. Out yonder in the open field. A place of many dangers and many enemies. Amen. These roses and these lilies were not raised in a greenhouse. Amen. They were not cultivated. They were grown out yonder in the field, in the valley. In the valley, they're the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. I want to say to you, my friend, that the church is often in the valley. Oh, yes, sir. God will let us walk through times of affliction and times of despair and times of sorrow and times of great trouble. And I'm going to tell you something else. Being out in that valley is a place where they may very well, they weren't cultivated. They may have very well been trodden under the feet of men. Now I'm telling you that we are the offscouring of the world. Now friend, if you got the idea that the world loves you and cares for you, you're a fool this morning. They'd spit in your face and trap you under their feet. No wonder it may very well be said that lily is the lily, or the church is the lily of the valleys. You know, Ben and Andrew might be in that valley now. Some of you may be in that valley. Some of you got loved ones in here, children. You'd like to see under the blood. Are you afflicted? Let your joy be turned into mourning. I'm telling you, the problem today is that we don't want to suffer none for God. We want to live on the mountain, but we're never ready to go to the valley. And the Scripture says, I am the lily of the valleys. I don't know about you, I spend more time there than I do anywhere else. Amen. Down in that valley. I want to say this also, that the lily, how many of you ever seen them at Easter growing on this platform? Some of you have went out and bought them. And them little old lilies will grow up like that with a stem and a pod on the end. And the very minute that flower on the end, that pod turns into a flower, you know what that lily does? It starts bending over. That is an amazing thing. That the stem, or if you please, the body, does not have the strength, friend, to hold up the head. Now I'm telling you tonight, or this morning, this afternoon, whenever it may be, that the body, which is the church, does not have enough power and strength to hold up the head. But I'm glad, thank be unto God, that we've got a root in the ground that supplies the body glory to His name, and we're sustained by the head who is above all and in all, and praise God, principalities and powers. Have to humble themselves at Him. That's right. I want to say thirdly, like the church. Now you get a hold of this. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Both of these together, my friend, both of these together express our likeness to the Lord. Oh, somebody said, how can that be? Chapter 5 and verse number 10. He says of Himself, I am ruddy and white. You know what color ruddy is? It's red. He said, I'm red and I'm white. It ain't no wonder, my friend, that the bride here could say, I am the rose of Sharon, red in color. I am the lily of the valley that's white, because I've taken on the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you I find no fault in that today. Bless your wonderful name. I am thankful that I can be identified with the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. I want to be hated of the lost. And let me rephrase that. I want to be hated of the ungodly. The world hated Him. And we want to cuddle up to it and be friendly with it. World's not my home. And it's not my friend. No, sir. I'm ruddy and white. I'm red and white. And by the way, the red very well may be expressive of the blood that's been applied. And the white may be how the blood made us. We are red and we're white because we've been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. And by the way, that is a perfect beauty. Red and white is perfect beauty. But, like I said, I believe that we find here
we find here Christ praising Himself. Amen. He said, I am the rose of Sharon, and I am the lily of the valley. Amen. And I honestly believe that it's Christ. I'm giving you the similarities of the church. Amen. Now I'll tell you one reason that I do not believe it's the church, because you and I have no right to praise ourselves. No right to glory in ourselves. If we're going to glory, let us glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want to praise anybody, let us praise Him who loved us and died for us, because He's worthy of it. Oh yes, it is the Lord Jesus praising Himself when He looked at His lovely bride and said, I am the rose of Sharon, and I am the lily of the valley. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, why does He praise Himself? Well, I'm going to tell you why. He praised Himself because no one else can do the job like it ought to be done. Huh? If you think your tongue can describe His glory and your lips can praise Him like He ought to be praised, we're all naive. Now, I'm going to tell you what bothers me more than that. Some of you sitting here glue-mouthed. Amen. Amen to God, dead, twice dead, and plucked up by the roots. Amen. No wonder. No wonder He had to praise Himself if His own bride does not have enough grace to praise Him, my friend. He will praise Himself. Yes. And I want to say to you, He's justified in doing it. Huh? He is justified in doing it. You hear me, and don't nobody get mad. But God's justified in doing whatever God wants to do because He's God. Huh? As a preacher on the radio the other day said, God wouldn't be fair and wouldn't be just if He didn't give every heathen an opportunity and a chance to be saved. Now, I hope He does. But I'm going to tell you something. If He don't, He is still God. That, oh, yeah. Somebody said, oh, preacher, everybody will hear the gospel. Has it ever occurred to you, friend, that there is at least 87% of the world's population that doesn't even have a copy of the Bible? You and I's got a Bible and a church on every corner and a crucified Lord, and yet we sit in the house of God and refuse to lift our voice and be thankful for what God's done for us. Now, I'm not phoning out Brother Thompson, but I'm going to correct something Brother Doug said. Brother Thompson said that thanks for being thankful was not a sign of spirituality. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Be thankful in all things. Amen. That means when you're sick, when you're afflicted, amen, when grandpa and grandma dies, when your wife's sick and your husband's sick, amen, when they're on the deathbed, when your children's wayward, when nothing's going right, it takes a pretty spiritual person to yet be thankful to God. But I'm telling you, friend, all of that is minor when you survey the wondrous glory of the cross and try to come to realize what God has done for us on Calvary in order to prompt our soul, my friend, and elevate our hearts that our lips might praise Him. Amen. Hey, listen now. He said, I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. Do you know what He's doing? He's describing Himself. He's telling you what He is. He's telling you what He is. And by the way, He'll never be fully described unless He describes Himself. I challenge any in this building or by the radio to stand up now and vividly describe the Lord Jesus. Have you seen Him by the eye of faith? Come on. Come on, stand up and tell me what He is. Would you ever have thought If he hadn't have told you, would you ever have thought that he was a rose of Sharon? Would you ever have dreamed that he was a lily of the valley? If he hadn't written it down in a Bible and given it to you, how would you have known that he's a door? How would you have known he's a way, the truth, and the life? How would you have known he is the resurrection and the life? How would you have known he's the bread that come down from God out of heaven? I tell you, unless he describes and reveals himself, you wouldn't know best about God. Huh? I know that's right. It's certain. It is certain. The world would never have known God had God not revealed himself. I want you to look at me and listen to me just for a minute. Bless your heart. Son, when God revealed himself to Adam and to Noah and to Abraham, and Abraham, my friend, God revealed his plan to Abraham, and God revealed to Moses the law and gave it to Israel. I'm telling you that God, my friend, was in a process of revealing all of the glory of God. And someday, oh my, I'm about to run my head through a wall. He just wrote the Bible now, but someday he will in person manifest himself and reveal all his glory and majesty to you and I. You better get a hold of that. I'm telling you, if God hadn't come in the garden, if God hadn't come to Noah, if God hadn't come to Abraham and revealed himself in the law. But oh, how can I say this? When he sent his Son into the world, he is the express image of God. Oh, that God is, Jesus was. Oh, that God is, Christ shall ever be, my friend. Bless his wonderful name. He has revealed himself to us as the rose of Sharon, as the lily of the valley. He is God's broken rose. Who else is there now that could possibly reveal him to us unless he himself? You know what he done? You know what he done when he said, I'm the rose of Sharon? You know what he done when he said, I'm the lily of the valley, the resurrection and the life, the first and the last, the bright and the morning star? You know what he did? He just simply slipped up the veil. Oh, just lifted the veil a little bit and give you and I one little glorified glimpse. And let us gaze one time upon the face of the darling Son of God as we behold it in a glass darkly. Just looking at it darkly. And I'm telling you, friend, when he slipped up the veil and let us see the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, he lets us admire his own beauty and glory. Amen to God. Here the Savior just lifts the corner of the veil that conceals His glory and lets some of us see a glimpse of the beauty of Christ when He said, I am the rose of Sharon and I am the lily of the valley. Now don't you die on me now. Don't you die now. And why would God reveal Himself? Come on now. Why would God... Hey! If God hadn't revealed Himself, all humanity would be burning in a lake of fire tonight. Oh, I'm glad that's right. If He hadn't have taken upon His own self to reveal Himself in Christ, we would all be in Him. I know that's right. I'm going to tell you why He done it, that He might win our hearts. Some of you in here this morning is as lost as a golf ball is in high weeds. On your way to hell. And as a rose of Sharon, He's trying to lift the veil and give you a glimpse of the blessedness of Christ. Oh, yes, and how He gave His life in suffering death that you might be lifted out of a fiery pit, my friend, and birthed into the family of God. Some of you better listen. I'm here. Hey, I sat in my upstairs last night until almost midnight with God's mercy and God's presence, my friend. So thick in that room, I thought one time that I was going to die if God never withdrew from me a little bit. I'm telling you, God has put the power on me to preach on the roof of Sharon this morning in the house of God. And I want to do my best to part the veil that some of you through an eye faith might see the suffering Son of God. That He might win your heart. You see Him yonder, broken for you, God's broken rose, His blood, He's shewing out of a riven side, and His blood streaming down a pierced brow, and His blood trickling down upon His feet, and His blood running down an old rugged cross. And as it falls upon the rocks cry out, "This is the Son of God." And as the rocks cry out and echo their voice into the heavens, my friend, the trees high cry out as they point up toward glory itself, "This is the Son of God." And the eagle takes its flight and heads upward into the face of God and cries out, "Jesus is very God." Oh, yes, sir. That's His wonderful name. When He said, "I'm the rose of Sharon," He was inviting you to come and pick Him. And I'm going to tell you, one flower will make the whole bouquet. Why don't some of you pick Him this morning and take Him back home, and for one time in your life, sit down at dinner and let the rose of Sharon grace your table and let Him become the centerpiece in your table and adorn the table you're dining from. Oh, and He said, "I am the rose of Sharon. Come out. Come on and pick me. I am the rose of Sharon. I want you to pick me. I have been like a root out of dry ground and sprung up like a rose and revealed myself that you might pick me." Amen. Amen. Let me ask you, have you picked Him this morning? Have you strolled through the valleys and through the veil, through God's lovely flower garden, and beheld a rose and the beautiful lily growing side by side? And they cried out together as they passed by, "I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. And I have been broken for you. I am God's broken rose. I've been bruised until the juice has run out. And I am your broken rose. Pick me. Pluck me. Take me home with you. Why do you want to go by yourself? Oh, how beautiful. How fragrant. How lovely, how holy, how wonderful. Oh, my God, how sweet, how good, how blessed. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, He's fairer than 10,000. He's brighter than a morning star. Oh, yes, sir. He's the first and the last and everything in between. Bless Him today." Y'all pray, Brother Hall's tired. Huh? But when the Savior, hey, that He might win her heart. When He said, "I'm the rose of Sharon," hey, He means, pluck me. Take me. Take me for your very own. Amen. Not somebody else's rose, not Brother Hall's. Oh, Brother Hall's been saved. That's all he talks about. September the 13th, 1970. My God, my soul is running out of me to some of you in here this morning. Why don't you pluck Him and take Him home with you? Oh, that's why I died. That's why I came. That's why I died. He wants to be yours. You can own that rose of Sharon. That lily of the valley can be yours today. Somebody said, I don't have any money. How? From Eve without money and without price. Come buy milk and wine and honey and buy it without a price today. On that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, son, let him come unto me and drink. And as the Scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come and pluck him today. Take him home with you. Let him be your very own. Huh? I tell you what now, Sister Hall, got some of those flowers from Sharon. And they're beautiful. Oh, except them little octopus legs. I don't know what they are. The rest of it's pretty. They're pretty too. I'm just going on. They're pretty purple. And I reached out and touched them. And oh, how beautiful they are. Aren't they pretty? What is that? White rose! And by the way, in Sharon, there's numerous different colors of roses that bloom. Oh, but the fairest of them all is the ruddy rose. The red rose of Sharon that has the best fragrance. Oh, hey, the rose is, this is a rose. Come and touch it. Admire it. But I'm here to tell you, friend, and we do, we love pretty flowers in the house of God, and we set them in our own house and how beautiful they are. But I'm going to tell you one thing about them. They're dead. They have no feeling. They have no odor. But this rose of Sharon that grew up out of dry ground is alive today. Amen to God. You can have a live rose on the title today. That's his wonderful name.
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Huh? Let me ask you a question. And I'll have to use Sharon again. She's a good illustration today. I saw her in here Tuesday night. I believe it was Tuesday. She had them, as they say in Europe, those lovely vases. She had a vase of flowers. Got a vase with some pretty flowers in it. I saw her coming up that aisle with them flowers. And I saw Robert say a little something to her. I said, I wasn't going to get in on that, buddy. But she was bringing those flowers up through there. And she was just, oh, look at these flowers. Look at these flowers. We got home. And I told Miss Hall, I said, we get hanging, trying to hang some things and get her house in order a little bit. And I said, boy, we need to put her up there on the dining room wall. I said, and put a pretty picture there. Miss Hall said, yeah. Said, I should have bought some of them flowers from Sharon. Now, I said, well, they wasn't the right color. She said, she can get them any color you want. Hang those flowers on that wall. Let me ask you something. When Sharon walked down that aisle and said, look, Miss Hall, at my beautiful flowers. Aren't they lovely? Miss Hall said she bought 16 of them things. How many of them did you sell? You got three left. You've sold 13 of them. Let me ask you something, Sharon. Did you sell any of them by hiding them in the closet? How'd you sell them? Oh, you showed them to people. I'm telling you, friend, when a man or a woman praises their wares, that they're doing it that they might sell them to mankind. And I'm telling you, when Christ said, I am the rose of Sharon, he praised himself. He praised his wares that some may find interest and buy him and carry him home. Somebody said, I ain't got no money, don't need none. Paid in full by the blood. Woo! Of the Lamb. You don't need no money. For by grace grace are you saved through faith. That not itself. It is the gift of God. You don't need a dime. When he sat on the roads of Sharon, he said, I'm free. I'm out in the field. Come and get me. He praises himself that we might fall in love with him. Huh? Praises himself that we might fall in love with him. Fall in love with the beautiful rose. The rose of Sharon. And the lily of the valley. And I don't know if I've got this in my notes, and I want to say it now because I might lose it later on. I don't think like I once did. That thing's crooked. But the rose was growing in the field. In the open field. And it did not belong to any particular man. No man had it in his greenhouse. It did not belong to any particular little group. Whoever walked by and willed to pull that little rose. Oh, some saw it and trampled it under their feet, for they saw no beauty in it. It's like the pictures. I don't know who some of them writers, Van Gogh or something. All some of them things just looks like a bunch of junk to me. But these other people look at them and say, oh, isn't that a beautiful painting? That rose of Sharon growing in that open field. Some men walk by on one side and some on the other side. Amen to God. As they walk by on one side and some on the other, they may have stopped and trampled it under their feet, or they may have passed it on by because they saw no beauty. Down there, forget my friend. Years ago, I was going to Don Anderson's meeting. I was driving down I-40, and some of them wildflowers that had sold out in the middle of 40. I never seen anything so beautiful in all my life. I chalked on the van, pulled her off to the side, rolled out, crossed the parkway, went over in that middle part of the highway and pulled one of them flowers. I brought it back and said, sweetheart, them's the prettiest things that I've ever seen in my life. Oh, I'm here to tell you, my friend, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm sad because it's in the field. Let whosoever will come and pick that rose, my friend. It's there for whosoever wants the rose. You can come by and pluck him this morning. Take him to your house. Hallelujah. God's broken rose. Now, I'm about done. Just bear with me. I think I'm about done. As Christ's broken rose, we see Christ as the rose of Sharon. Suffering for sinners. Oh, somebody said, preacher, how can you see that? Just hang with me. What are they doing with spectacles? The rose, because of its red color, is an expression of the truth of his humanity and signifies that he is really and truly a man, having taken part of the same flesh and blood that his people are partakers of, and also of his bloody sufferings in the same. Let me just break that down, son. That rose of Sharon means that Christ being a man, he wrapped himself in a robe of flesh and become a man and took upon himself the form of a man and humbled himself as humanity and went to the cross, my friend. Look here. God suffered in man's stead. Every man, my friend, was destined to suffer the wrath and vengeance of God and the fiery pit of hell. But Christ, as a rose broken, took our suffering. Now I want to ask you, say them, make a statement. Break the rose and watch him bleed. Look at his riven side. His blood streams from a riven side to wash your sins as white as snow. Break the rose and watch him bleed. He's God's broken rose. He'll bleed. He bled for you. He bled for me. Some of you in here this morning lost and going to hell. Reach out and crush him and experience the blood upon your body from the broken rose, that little petal that you hold in your hand. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah to God. The flower of the field, listen now, is not of man's planting. Man did not plant those little flowers. And it is not raised up by man's work. Our Lord, my friend, was conceived in the womb by God alone and without any man's doing. He is a rose, a root out of dry ground that was raised, planted and raised by God Almighty without human instrumentality, and as a man,
amen,
He died for you. Let's not get too nervous now. I'm not done. Huh? In the field flower has little regards, I've already said. Hey, Christ's not esteemed very highly by a whole lot of people. Huh? He has no comeliness that he should be desired. He's despised and rejected of men. They don't see the real worth of Christ. Can you look upon his pierced side? Look upon his thorn brow. Look upon his beaten back as his entrails hang out of his body, and his visage is beyond recognition. Amen. Beaten beyond recognition. Suffering, bleeding and dying. And a reed full of vinegar poked in his mouth. And there he cries, I thirst! I thirst! And the sorry hound dog, Christ rejecting devils, rather than give him water, gave him vinegar and myrrh to drink. Spit it out. Yes, sir, buddy. Look to Calvary. See the rose broken, suffering for you. Hey, as one famous preacher would say, buckwheat, he died for you.
Amen.
You ought to be in hell. Amen. The maggots of hell ought to be feasting on your body this morning.
Amen.
Well, not me, preacher. Don't you know I'm not one of them? You worm, you no man, you sorry devil, you stinking hellion, you got the smell of hell all over you. You've done rubbed against the charred walls, your hair's singed. You talk like them and act like them. Some of you young people got the same countenance on your face that the imps of hell got on their face.
Amen.
And you ought to be there this morning.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the rose of Sharon was bruised for as a suffering for the sinners of humanity upon this earth.
Amen.
No man that is despised and rejected will understand his worth. The flower of the field is open to all. Whosoever will may come and take of that rose. Now, don't get in a hurry. I see Christ as suffering for sinners. I see Christ as a sweet fragrance to the saint. And there's where a whole lot of you is missing the boat, friend. We had a picture at the house. I don't know if we still got it or not. We lived in Tucson, Arizona. Went to the park, and they got a big garden down there. And then it's a big rose garden. Some of them roses that high. I don't know if we set a camera up or somebody took it, but we used to have a picture of Sister Hall and I bending over that rose, with our nose buried in the pedestals of that rose and inhaling the fragrance of it. And I'm telling you this morning, as a child of God, friend, you need to bury your nose in the petals of the rose.
Amen.
Amen. And if the scent's not strong enough, break it and smell the fragrance that comes from the extract that runs out of that little rose. Son, there's not a sweeter fragrance in all the world than the odor that proceeds out of that little broken rose. Oh, yes, sir. Its fragrance quickens our spiritual senses. It makes us alive. It'll put a shout in some of y'all. Amen. His fragrance delights and ravishes our soul. That's why I could stay here all day today. And some of you can't wait till the bell rings. Some of you is as fidgety as a kid in school, can't wait till the 3 o'clock bell to ring. And I wouldn't give a flip. We hung around all day. I like it. Huh? It's a sweet smell. Has no additives to it. It's a pure smell, a sweet smell. I'm trying to close. Bear with me. Christ is God's broken rose. I see Christ suffering or satisfying the Father's wrath. Now you better hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. The rose now is of a cooling nature. And it was an herb used in years back that it helped with burning fevers and inflammations and things like that. It helped with burning inflammations and burning fevers and sores. That little broken rose. Now I'm telling you, friend, only God's broken rose. Look here. God's got a fiery wrath. You haven't heard anything that I'm getting ready to say? You better hear me, friend. God's wrath will be poured out on Christ's rejecters. There's only one thing that will satisfy the fierceness of the wrath of God's law, and that is His own broken robes. For when they looked upon Christ in His suffering, God was satisfied. That's all that satisfies. Your works won't satisfy God's wrath. Your baptism won't do it. Tithing won't do it. Church membership won't do it. Christ satisfies. Christ, by His sacrifice, dying in the room instead of the sinners, has satisfied and removed His Father's fierce wrath from them. This rose of Sharon, this person, blood, and righteousness is all that can cool and comfort the conscience of a sinner set on fire by the fire of the law. I hope you got a hold of that, friend. You know why some of you worried, fretting, fidgety, your mind is rolling over in your mind, you're doubting, you're wondering all the time. I'm going to tell you why. It's God's wrath, the fierceness of God's law, condemning your conscience, friend, telling you what you are and where you're going. Now I'm going to tell you there's only one way to quench the fire of your conscience and find peace in your mind, and that's to get on an old-fashioned altar and find God's broken rose for your life. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. Why don't you come today and pluck Him? Take Him home.
Amen.
Own Him for yours. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I have poured out my soul to the best of my ability. And Father, it's my prayer to Thee that the Spirit of God, yes, Holy Spirit of God, I pray to Thee in this hour that You would descend in fullness of power to bring that fiery wrath of conviction in the conscience of unbelievers. And then point them
to the rose of Sharon that was crushed upon Calvary's brow, that their conscience might be cool, the wrath of God satisfied, their soul might be eternally set at liberty in God. Please save somebody today, Lord. Get your own glory today by doing that. We're just feeble earthlings. And the best we can do is poor and feeble and weak. But Thou art God, and Abba, Father, all things are present with, are possible with Thee. Please bring deep conviction and then show love and mercy that some today might come to know You. And I'll thank You for it in Jesus' lovely name. And for His sake, amen and amen. Let's all stand, please. What are we thinking? Page 410. Page 14. I'm sorry. God spoke into your heart today, and you need to get right with God. I know it's late. I know that. But it may be later than some of you think this morning. God dealt with my heart last night. I prayed for some of you by name. I beg you this morning, if you are not saved, you don't know Him. He's growing this morning as a lily of the valley and a rose of Sharon, and you can come and pluck Him. He was broken on the cross. He quenched the wrath of God, and all you've got to do is appropriate the grace of God in your life. If God's spoken to your heart by faith, take Him by faith. And I realize if God hadn't spoken to you, if God hadn't touched you, your little profession of faith ain't worth 15 cents. But I urge you, don't resist. Don't trod under your feet the hallowed blood of the Son of God and do despite the Spirit of grace. For if we sin willfully, after that we've acknowledged the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins. Would you please come to the Saint Brother George, and you lead us. Come on. Come and kneel there today. Appreciate you being here today. I'm satisfied that some will leave almost persuaded. Some will leave lost. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valleys. I appreciate you being here. Don't forget me in our prayer meeting. I trust you'll come back tonight. I'm not going to apologize for it being 1:30.
Amen.
Your roast will wait if it won't feed it to the stupid dogs and fast.
Amen.
This is God's day.
Amen.
I love you. Lord willing, I'll see you tonight. God bless you. See you men tonight.